If you would, please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, we come before you seeking a centering moment. We come before you in thankfulness for your resurrection. We come before you in thankfulness of knowing that you will meet us right where we are, even today. Lord, we come before you just thanking you for all that you're doing in our lives, all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do to proclaim your name in each of our lives. Lord, I pray, we come before you to pray that you would move me out of the way so that your name can further be glorified, that you would shrink me so that your name can be just grown and glorified in the lives and the minds and the ears of all of those here today, that you would speak to each of us in a way that brings us peace when there is fear. Lord, thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what a week, right? It's been a great week. We had a great Easter service last week. We had some great services here. And then just in my life, in Laura's life, we're just waiting for this baby to be born. You know, we're just waiting for it to happen. And Laura's just being so calm. She's just so calm about it. She is calm. I mean, she may not act like it right now. She's being humble. But meanwhile, over here, I'm like anxious and I'm nervous and I'm trying not to show it because I'm supposed to be, you know. But I'm not always. But we know that the baby's coming and we're just kind of waiting. And it's exciting, but it makes me think about where I am today, where my mind is at times, where my heart is today. And so my prayer has been throughout Lent and up until this day in different words that God would meet us here, that God would meet us here at Orem's in each of our lives and our corporate life of this church, right? Where we are, that God would meet us right where we are in our faith, in our lives, and in the body that makes up this church. And in meeting us where we are, it's what makes me think about how God has used questioning or doubting in my own life to be able to meet me right there, wherever I was. And I think that there's a word in this scripture to where God will do the same thing for us today. I want to tell you a story. I remember when I was in 6th or 7th grade at my Catholic school. There weren't a lot of nuns or anything, but we were having religion class. And after class was over, there was something that just wasn't sitting right with me from this class. There was something that we had gone over in this class about the saints. And forgive me if I offend anyone, but in Catholic teaching, we were told that we were to pray to the saints and that they are to intercede for us before God. That the saints, who are deemed saints, special by the Pope and the Vatican, are those who are said to be already in the presence of God. Those saints are. So if you've lost something, the teaching is that you pray to Saint Anthony to find it. And it's going to help you find it. Or you pray to St. Christopher if you're going on a long trip somewhere, and he's going to help you get there safely. Those are the things. That's traditional teaching. And so these were matters that we were discussing in religion class that day. And remember, this is 6th or 7th grade. I can't remember which grade it was because, one, it was a while ago, and two, all of our teachers kind of change. So one year or even one class, they could be your religion teacher, and the next they're teaching you about American politics. And so everything kind of jumbles together. But I know it happened in 6th or 7th grade. And so I went up to my teacher after class, and I asked her to share more on the matter, because it just didn't make sense to me. Like, I was struggling with it then. And so I asked her, why do we pray to someone other than God? I was wrestling with this, and when we can just pray to God. And so she let me know, she gave me the answer, that we don't pray to the saints, but we ask them for prayer, for us. But it still didn't make sense to me when I knew that we could just go right to God. We could pray directly to God, that the veil had been torn, and we could go right to Him with our prayers. It never set well with me, and it still doesn't today, which is why I'm not in the Catholic Church anymore. That's one of the reasons. But for me, it didn't work, and I tell this story to show that questioning in some cases, and in some cases doubting, has always been a part of my faith. Asking questions about God, asking questions about what Jesus says, asking questions about the Bible and matters of faith and doctrine and official teachings and otherwise, questioning and wrestling with them has always been essential to my faith. And hopefully you can relate to that too. Hopefully you wrestle with things. Hopefully you question. Hopefully you seek the answers for yourself. And if you can't relate with me, how about relating to this disciple Thomas? How about Thomas? Can you relate to him? You know, first off, Thomas has kind of this bad reputation in almost all of Christianity. It isn't fair, really, I don't think. I don't think it's fair. When you think about the Apostle Thomas, whom we read about in Scripture today, what adjective, what description is preceding his name, like every time we say his name, Thomas? What is it?
Doubting,
right? It's messed up. It's wrong. You know? I mean, you mean to tell me that he's the only disciple that doubted? And Peter denied Jesus three times, right? Tell me he didn't doubt. And then there's this other one of the 12, one of the disciples, that ran away when Jesus was arrested in the garden. He ran away and he was so frightened, he was so in fear, he was really doubting, that he ran as they grabbed him and he left his loincloth behind him. He was naked running away because he was scared and doubting the situation, doubting how this was all working out. And if you don't remember that story, you can look to Mark chapter 14, verses 48 through 52. I mean, these guys, they doubted from time to time. They had fear. They wrestled with what all of this stuff meant for them. And so those are just a couple references to the disciples that were, I think, equally wondering, equally doubting, equally denying Jesus, just as much as Thomas was in this passage. And yet their names aren't preceded by doubting or questioning or wrestling Peter. I mean, that wouldn't sound right, would it? And there are more. Those are just a few examples. Just read the gospel stories, and you'll see others that doubted or questioned or tried to go against what Jesus was teaching at times. I mean, Peter did it often, so much so that Jesus sometimes would say, "Get behind me, Satan," to him, because Peter was trying to go ahead of Jesus and change things. And so it really isn't fair that Thomas is coined as Doubting Thomas, but I guess in some ways it does help us to remember him better, because I think we can relate to his having doubts, to his having questions. We can relate to his cases of having a bit of unbelief. Because Thomas had that. He had that unbelief at times. And we find from the text today that he wasn't in the room when Jesus first appeared before the disciples, in the locked room where they were hiding in fear of the Jewish leaders. The text says that they had locked the room because they were hiding in fear of the Jewish leaders in verses 19 and 20. And it also says that the disciples were overjoyed to see Jesus appear before them as he showed them his hands and his side, showing them the marks of his crucifixion and death, to show them that he really had been dead, but now here he was before them alive. But again, Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't there when all that happened. And so when he returned later that evening and the disciples told him their encounter with this risen Jesus, he didn't believe them. He may have wanted to, But he just couldn't do it. He couldn't believe. He had to see Jesus for himself. He had to see the wounds in his hands from the nails. He had to see the pierced side from the spear of the soldier that stabbed him in the side of his body while he hung on the cross already dead. Thomas had to see Jesus for himself to believe for himself. And he says that in verse 25. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so this is where Thomas was in his faith, in his walk with Christ. He had just seen Jesus, who had devoted the last 3 years of his life to following him. And then he saw Jesus betrayed. He saw Jesus murdered on a cross, and he saw Jesus buried in a tomb. And so Jesus was dead to Thomas. And if Thomas was going to believe, he had to see Jesus for himself. No one could tell him otherwise. No one could convince him. He had to meet the resurrected Jesus for himself. Nothing that Mary Magdalene could say would persuade him, even though she talked to Jesus outside of the tomb. Not even the disciples telling him that they had seen him appear before them. Nothing would do it. Even when the doors were locked, nothing would change his mind about the matter until Jesus showed up for himself. That's where Thomas was, right there, doubting, questioning, not believing, but seemingly wanting to believe. He didn't want to believe that it was over, I don't think. I mean, and I want to ask, have you ever been there? Have you ever thought for yourself, you know, I want to believe, but I just keep experiencing all this pain. How can I believe in this pain? Or maybe you've thought like Gandhi at times, who said something like, I like your Christ, but you Christians are so unlike your Christ. Maybe you think that Christians are nothing like what they're supposed to be, and that's a barrier to your belief. E. Stanley Jones always pointed out to Gandhi, because E. Stanley Jones did a biography on Gandhi, the big one, the one that everybody reads, and he always said, don't focus on us, we're imperfect, but focus on Christ. Or maybe those aren't your reasons. Maybe you just don't know why it matters sometimes to believe. So where are you? And I don't mean, where are you physically? I mean, I don't mean here. I know you're at Orem's United Methodist Church. I know you're here at 1020 Orem's Road in Middle River, Maryland. I know that physically you're probably seated in the pew. Just about everybody is. And I hope that mentally you're here and you're listening and you're thinking about this, because I want to ask you again, where are you today? Today, as you sit here. Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in your faith in Jesus? Where are you in your Christian walk? Because it is wherever you are, that's where Christ can meet you, right there. Because Jesus has a way of meeting us right where we are, wherever that is. For Thomas, it happened a week after Easter. The next Sunday evening, to be exact, if we're looking at last week being Easter, it would be this evening. It happened for Thomas. There in the room again with the doors locked, Jesus appeared before the disciples again. And this time, Thomas was with them. He wasn't at 7-Eleven this time. He was with them. And he greeted them and he said, again, peace be with you. And in verse 27, he went to Thomas and he said to him, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus met Thomas right where he was. He went to him, showed him exactly what he needed to believe. He addressed exactly what Thomas needed to have faith. And I love what the NLT version says in verse 27. It doesn't say, stop doubting and believe. It doesn't say, stop doubting and believe like the NIV says that we read today. But it says, don't be faithless any longer. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Jesus met Thomas right where he was. And Thomas, because he wants to believe, because I honestly believe he wanted to believe, he responds to Jesus by saying, "My Lord and my God." And it doesn't even matter if Thomas actually touched Jesus' hands and felt the holes that the nails left, or if he felt the side of Jesus that had been pierced by the soldier's spear. It doesn't even matter. The text doesn't say that he even did that. But what's so amazing, what's so revealing, what's so awesome is that Jesus met Thomas right where Thomas needed Jesus to meet him. He addressed his needs so that he could believe like he wanted to believe. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you that wherever you are in your walk with Christ, whether you're side by side right now, walking in lockstep, whether you've been that way in the past and maybe you're not right now, or maybe you just are nowhere close right now and you want to be, Jesus will do the same for you. He will meet you right where you are. And he knows where that is. But here's the key. You have to want to meet Jesus. You have to want Jesus to meet you there. You have to be open to it. You have to be ready to receive Jesus' call to you, because he loves you and he knows what you need to stop your unbelief if you're ready to receive him. And so will you? Will you receive him again? Will you let him in? Will you let him change your life and guide your life? And if you're already doing this, will you submit again to him today? Will you submit again tomorrow, the next day, every day, wherever you are, will you submit to him? Because Christ changes us when he meets us where we are. Because he knows exactly where to meet us, and he changes our lives if we let him. And again, we just look at doubting Thomas. Legend and tradition has it that Thomas, the apostle, who we read about today for his doubting in Jesus, actually did believe after encountering this risen Christ. After meeting the risen Lord, he went outside of the Roman Empire. He left the empire. He went outside of there and he preached the good news of Jesus Christ to whoever would hear it. He started many churches, many faith communities, and as a missionary to India, he brought many people to know the Christ who met him where he was by meeting them where they were. And through Thomas's actions, it's shown that he clearly believed after his meeting the resurrected Christ. And the fruit of his faith was found in the people that he brought to Christ throughout all of India. There are still churches, there's still at least one church there that is believed to have been started by Thomas those 2,000 years ago. Finally, it's believed that he was martyred for his faith sometime in the same country of India around 72 AD. And so that's not too bad, is it, for a guy that we still call 2,000 years later doubting Thomas? I think in light of that, we need to reclaim him as someone that we can relate to, someone that we're like, a disciple that did great things for the kingdom in the name of Christ, and it all was birthed out of Jesus meeting him where he was in his faith or lack thereof. And so just like him, Christ can meet us and will meet us wherever we are, right where we are, and help us with our unbelief so that we too can believe. And in that belief, Christ will change our lives every day if we let him. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Thomas, one of your disciples. We thank you for his doubt, and we thank you for his belief that came through meeting you, Lord. And God, we pray that wherever we are today, each one of us here in the sanctuary, wherever we are, Lord, that you would meet us right where we are so that we can know you better, so that we can grow in you better, so that we can come to know your kingdom more fully, so that your name will be glorified in our lives, whether we talk about you or whether we just live, because it just your Holy Spirit just oozes out of us, proclaiming your name. Lord, if we're far away, draw us closer. Open our hearts and minds. If we're nearby, keep us nearby, Lord. Don't ever take your Spirit from us, but keep us nearby you, walking with you, and show us how to walk at times when we don't know or don't believe, when we doubt. Lord, give us peace in the midst of our doubt and our fear. Lord, just speak to us today and always. Allow us to submit to you so that you can guide us in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, for meeting Thomas where he is or was. And Lord, we pray that you would meet us today where we are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.